Hi guys, it's only been 11 months. Hello, welcome to your Audition preview.
It's like you haven't been away.
What an intro.
Hello guys, welcome to your Audition preview of Chelsea against Tottenham at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I am joined by two lovely gentlemen. I'm joined by Ben and Sim from We Are Tottenham TV. As you can see, if you're watching this visually, as I said at the beginning, because you'll have that in the video a bit, it has been 11 months. Yes, I know it's slow. There is a process behind my madness, but it's coming slowly but surely.
Is that the same with your football club?
Didn't ask your opinion. I was going to intro you first, all right? And then you decided to do that, all right? So, anyway, we're here to talk about the Chelsea versus Tottenham game, or Tottenham versus Chelsea, technically. They're going to be pedantic about it. Monday night football, under lights, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, what used to be a very happy stomping ground for Chelsea. First time we lost last year, in a very long time, at Spurs. But if we're going to be realistic, you guys are flying high. Us, not so much. We're doing okay, getting there slowly but surely. But, gentlemen, let's just jump into that bit there. How are you boys feeling ahead of the game on Monday?
Yeah, I'm actually feeling confident going into it. And usually when I'm feeling confident, it's actually a bad sign going into it, to be honest, because when Spurs fans do get overconfident, we all usually do know what happens. But I think when you're taking what we've done so far this season, unbeaten so far, only two draws, those draws coming away at Brentford and away at Arsenal. I think at home we've been super strong this season, won every game so far. So I look at this Chelsea team and look, I think I have seen some things in this Chelsea team where I am quite impressed by, but I think when you take the whole package, Spurs should be winning this game this weekend. And if we don't beat Chelsea this weekend, then I'm thinking like, when are we going to beat Chelsea? I know we beat them last year and I said the same I said the same thing
last
year.
Last time we played them, though.
But look, I think if we keep you quiet for the first 45 minutes, I'm super confident that we go and win this game.
Yeah, I think Chelsea are a good team. I think they've got good young players. And I'm a bit worried about the fact, we'll get into it, I'm guessing, soon about Pochettino, but I think there's no perfect time for Pochettino to really announce himself as Chelsea manager than winning at Spurs. So I'm not saying all is forgiven if he wins this game, but obviously if he does win this game, he's going to gain a lot of goodwill with the Chelsea fans, which maybe he doesn't have so much right now considering the result. So I'm definitely wary of that. And I think Chelsea, with their high pressing system, that's definitely a tactic that at times we've struggled with at times this season. But considering the great feeling, the good form we're in, considering home advantage as well, and it should be a bit of a spicy atmosphere, I'm confident we're definitely not going to lose. I think we should win, but I do see a close game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the goodwill thing, and obviously, look, I don't know many Chelsea fans personally who are annoyed at Pochettino right now. I think we all appreciate the situation we're in terms of this project mentality and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, it's usually the few idiots that make the loudest noise, which are going to be the ones that get noticed the most. But, you know, having said all of that, I do feel that, you know, you're absolutely right. This is a game where, you know, maybe if he does win, it is going to be a thing which I think Chelsea fans, but even the team, I think will take moving forward, especially. I think it really would announce himself, especially if he does a touchline sprint and, you know, knee slide and, you know, does a cartwheel, maybe. I'm thinking that.
Does he celebrate if Chelsea score?
Judging by the comments that he's made in this press conference, I don't think he's going to celebrate something.
I feel like that would be like a house and hoot, where he'd be like, yes, no, calm down. That's what happens. But, lads, I do want to ask you, obviously, when Pochettino got announced as Chelsea manager, I remember the day Mourinho became Spurs manager and me and you were here, actually, and you were loving it, like every moment of it. But I thought, you know what, I'm not going to rub it in because, you know, I'm a nice guy. What was going through your head and like, how do you see this relationship with Pochettino and Tottenham now? Like, obviously, I'm asking you individually, and then you can tell me, you know, how fans feel within the stadium and online as well.
Look, for me personally, I think that obviously I had a massive affinity for Pochettino, the work that he's done at Spurs. I wanted him back this summer, and I thought he should have come back. But now we've got Postecoglou, that's a completely different story now. My feelings have completely changed. But once I saw him, because we knew he was going to Chelsea for a while, and I was like, oh, this doesn't sit right with me. I really don't want this to happen. And then when I saw him walk into Cobham, hold up that shirt as a Chelsea manager, I was just like, this makes me want to be sick, seriously. Like, seeing Pochettino, Chelsea manager, after he said, like, Chelsea, Chelsea or Spurs' biggest rivals. He said that when he was a Spurs manager, and, you know, massive affiliation with the club, and he was pretty much twerking with Spurs for the past couple of years to try and come back, and he just never got the call. So I can understand why he's gone to Chelsea. I don't hold it against him for going to Chelsea, but essentially him being Chelsea manager now, he's the enemy. So as much as I do hold him in very high regard, and I still love him to a certain extent, whilst he's at Chelsea, I've got to put that all to one side, and it's on pause. Once he leaves Chelsea, I'll probably hold him in really high regard again. But right now, in this current moment in time, whilst he's Chelsea manager, I don't want anything to do with him.
Yeah, I want him to fail. That's the reality. I want him to get sacked. I want it to end horrifically. And that's just the nature of what, now he's managing a rival. Now, the question is, when he comes to the stadium on Monday, what do I think his reception is going to be, or what do I think it should be? For me personally, I still, like, because of, it's the, you got to realise it's the first time he's come back to Tottenham since he left. So he hasn't even, with any previous clubs with PSG, wherever, he hasn't been back. So it's the very first time. So personally, because of that fact, it's the first time since he was sacked, I would like to, in some way, show appreciation that I still, like, appreciate the job he did at Spurs, and I still really admire the job and appreciate that. So I think he never really got to say goodbye or anything. So the fact that it's his very first time back at Tottenham, I'm not saying get a good reception. I am, I guess, especially at the start of the game, not the start of the game, maybe before kickoff, get a bit of a, you know, applause when he comes out, whatever, or something. I wouldn't like to see him get booed, basically, I guess, is what
I'm
saying.
Do you think people will?
I think there are some people will. I think it'll be mixed. I think it'll be mixed.
Yeah, I don't want to see him get cheered before the game.
I'd like an applause.
After the battle's done and we've got the job done, fine, give him the applause. But before the game, when you're about to go in battle, that just doesn't sit right with me.
I think it has to be before, because I think after that, then you don't want to be concentrating on him after. I think before, you have a little applause, as soon as the game starts, you start booing, whatever you want. Say you're getting sacked in the morning, you go for the, do whatever you want. I think just a little moment before the game I would like, but whatever. If fans boo, I'm not really too concerned, because I understand and he understands why it's happening. I just think, just because it's the first time, if I'm talking like next season, when it's, you know, he's been back already once, you go whatever. I don't really care that much. I just like the fact it's the very first time he's come back. So it's the first time I'm going to see him ever since he's been sacked. So just because of that fact. But I'm not like married to that position, but that's how I'd see it.
That's true.
And I tell you what, like, I really was like on the bandwagon of not cheering him at all, not showing him any love whatsoever. But after hearing these comments in the press conference, I'm like starting to think, like, those reading it and watching it, they just warmed my heart. They really did. And
that's
just
exactly what a Chelsea fan wants to hear, listening to a Spurs fan, listening to a Chelsea manager.
It made me kind of remember why we were so deeply in love with the guy as well when he was at the club, because we really were. We've been deeply in love with him ever since he's joined Chelsea. That's been the fact of the matter. A lot of Spurs fans, a big section of the fan base, have been calling for him to be rehired. At the latter stages of the Conte era, when we were getting pummeled every game, fans were walking out the stadium singing Pochettino songs. So, look, once he's gone to Chelsea, you've got to consider him as the enemy. But after hearing those comments, you're just like,
but as a Spurs,
this guy is still a Spurs fan.
Yeah, but as a Spurs fan, listening to what he said, like, he didn't have to say, like, he was asked, how do you feel about Spurs doing really well and they're top of the league? And he said, oh, I'm really happy to see them there. And, you know, they're showing their challenges. He didn't have to say that. Yeah. He could have said, like, good for them, they're doing what they're doing, but we've got a job to do. But he didn't have to say, I'm happy about it. He didn't have to say that.
If he'd had what you're saying there, where he's gone, do you know what, fair play.
Yeah, they're doing
That's
well.
That's different to going, oh, you know, I'm really happy for him. Like, Poch, if you just said, they're doing well, cool, but we've got our own stuff to do. Mm-hmm. Which is what he said first. Mm-hmm. That was perfect. I was like, okay, cool.
He couldn't help himself. He just couldn't help himself.
Because he's happy. He didn't want to lie. He's not a liar.
As two lads that have seen Pochettino take Spurs from where they were to, you know, nearly there. Mm-hmm. If you've come from the Spurs opposition preview, you will know that, Me and Sim had a few words about, you know, winning and understanding it. But, you know, it's a case of, with Pochettino, what should Chelsea fans expect? And given the situation, because obviously myself and you, Ben, when we spoke about it, you've seen a lot of similarities between where Spurs were at the beginning with Pochettino in this current crop of Chelsea players. Sort of, what are the pair are you looking at, and what similarities do you see, and what should Chelsea fans kind of expect with Pochettino in this era?
I would say definitely when he first came to Spurs, it took a good year to really get used to his methods, especially, I have to say, the first few months were a disaster. We were pretty much near the bottom of the table.
He nearly got sacked.
If it wasn't for that famous Harry Kane goal at Villa, which announced Harry Kane, it actually saved Pochettino his job. I remember Poch saying in a press conference while he was manager Spurs, if Kane hadn't scored that goal, he was shaking hands with his assistant saying, look, I think we're done here. I think we're not going to last another week, basically. And then Kane won. We won that game. We went on a bit of a winning run, a small one. But we ended up finishing fifth in the first season because we had quite a good end second half of the season. But it definitely took a lot of time. And not only did it take time to get used to his methods, but he had to take a lot of time, which is a bit different to Chelsea because he's had a lot of change already. At Tottenham, we had just come off the back of the bail money season. It was a year after. So we'd already spent a lot of money. So Levy didn't want to pump a lot of money in the summer Poch came. So he basically had to deal with what he had. So he had a lot of weeding out to do. He had to get rid of a lot of the old guard like Lennon, Adebayor, Kabul. A lot of these players who were big players maybe previous eras where he had to obey, who weren't really up to what he was trying to do. And even in November time in his first season, you saw the likes of Mason, Benteleb, Townsend was a bit before anyway. A lot of younger players, basically, I'm trying to get a lot of younger players started to get involved who weren't very involved before, even if they weren't as good as the players he was leaving out. He would rather players who'd fit his system rather than better quality. Right. And it definitely brought better results. And then after a year, once he got rid of a lot of the old guard and players that didn't fit his system, he brought in, you know, Toby Alderweireld, he brought in a few better players, Heung-min Son, he brought in Eriksen, he found a position for. Obviously Harry Kane was becoming the best striker in the league. He started bringing a player is much more suited to his system, and then we started to fly. Then all of a sudden it was like a massive upward trajectory, but it did take time. 100% it took time. But it's different with Chelsea because he's already had a lot of money to spend at the get-go. He's pretty much starting, like, I feel like he's starting at Chelsea in a weird way where he started his second season at Spurs, because he's already got that change, right? Because you don't have a lot of old guard. He's pretty much given a new squad and saying, here you go, do what you want with it. At Tottenham he didn't have that. He had to deal with what he had. Right. Whereas at Chelsea is a bit different.
So with that, cause we had a lot of players shifted on this summer. I mean, Kai Havertz, Mason Mount, players that I think the way that Pochettino and Reece James talks about as players that, you know, if they don't want to carry the bricks and all that sort of stuff, not, you know, full on like carry the logs and all that sort of stuff, but, you know, if they don't want to carry the bricks, they don't have them. In that situation, so you're saying you're looking at this team going, okay, well, he's got a brand new crop. He's kind of doing his own thing. Having said that, you're sort of looking at it as an outsider looking in with that second season syndrome, should we say, that he had when he was at Spurs. Mm. If you're mirroring it to this Chelsea squad, is it less exciting? Well, exciting is one word. Is it less intimidating almost? Or is it a case, if you look at that guy, do you know what? It's still a good squad. You can see the similarities. You can see that there is going to be maybe a similar, maybe an even better trajectory.
It depends. If you need to be sprinkling that experience along with the youth players that you've got. And I think that with those youth players, Pochettino has got a proven track record of taking these kind of players and making them into stars. He did it at Tottenham time and time again with the likes of Dele Alli and Harry Kane and everyone else.
Southampton as well. PSG,
Southampton. You know what I mean? So he's got that proven track record to take these kind of players, but you need that experience. We covered it in the preview on our channel as well, but you need that experience sprinkled in with that. And I think once he gets that, I do think Chelsea will be on the right path, but I just feel like looking at your squad now, you do have very good young players there, but I just felt you brought in too many of the same kind of caliber of player, and a lot of them are going to fall by the wayside, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the portfolio mentality, which has been seeping in.
I do think he's the perfect manager, actually, for Chelsea right now with the squad that you've got, with the potential and also with what you need to be doing. I actually think he's the perfect manager for you.
That's fair. What do you think, Sam?
I think so as well. I think he's the right guy to lead this project if you give him the chance. I would say he is the perfect manager for your project, but is he the perfect manager for your club? Now, that's a different question, because I just feel like whenever, more often than not, when situations happen like the Pochettino one, like you take a manager from a rival, more often than not, the fans just never fully buy into him.
Happened with us with Mourinho.
Happened with us, Mourinho and Conte. Happened with, you know, Everton with Rafa. It's happened with it's happened a few times. I can't remember a situation where it hasn't, where it has worked out. Like, I mean, when we had George Graham, I think Spurs fans always held that against him, that he was the Arsenal manager. Yeah. They never really looked past that. So the question is, when things are going, obviously they're going rough right now, but obviously it's in the infancy. The question is, when maybe later in the season, if things aren't drastically improving and you're really in a battle for at least a top six place, you know, come March, April, when the going gets that tough, are the fans going to stick by him? Mm. And are the fans going to build pressure on the board to sack him? And is it, and are the Spurs links going to play a part in that? Mm. So that's what I'm worried about for him, is because he needs time. He needs the season. Look, he obviously needs to show improvement, but he needs the season just to get used to everything. And then I'm sure, like, next season, if you give him the time, even a few more, sprinkle a few more players in there in the summer, you'll be fine. But I think for the project, he's fine. But I just worry about his relationship with the fans, whether it's ever going to get to the stage like it was at Tottenham, where everyone's fully bought into him, and whether the board will bow to the pressure if it gets too much. I think there's a different elements there, so that's why I'm questioning whether he's the right manager for your club. But I do think for the project he is.
Your fans though need to realize what you're in right now, and you can't expect, I know you don't, but maybe a lot of Chelsea fans do, expect success straight away, like you have done over the years so many times with the managers that you've brought in. Maybe you would have finished like 9th or 10th the previous year. Conte comes in and wins the league straight away. This ain't going to happen with this Chelsea team. You need to make sure that you give it patience. You give the manager patience, the players patience, everything right now with Chelsea Football Club, because you've gone in such a different direction. It needs more patience than Chelsea fans probably have ever had in the last 20, 30 years.
I agree. But there does also need to be at some point some actual growth.
But I think there has been, though. I have noticed like performances have improved for Chelsea this season.
They have, but that does need to be...
The results just haven't on a consistent basis.
Yeah, but that's the other, unfortunately, that is what people live and die by in this business.
But you're not going to get it all at once.
I'm not expecting that, but what I'm saying is sort of like, you need to see... At some point, you know, the growth marrying up with the actual results.
Yeah, at some point. But that takes time.
Yeah, but it can't be 1-2 years. It needs to be sort of like next 6 months, we need to be picking up results to a decent standard. I'm not sitting there going battering teams off the park, but I'm saying when you're playing Nottingham Forest, that's not a game where you're going to go and lose.
Yeah.
You know, that it needs to be those games which are technically the easier bouts on paper. Those ones we need to be going and going.
But the problem is your chairman has already set a precedent with the Potter sacking. I know things weren't going well with Potter, but the things I'm seeing right now with Chelsea are very similar to the problems you had last season. Actually controlling games well, creating chances, just can't put the ball in the back of the net, and then all of a sudden you get countered and you end up losing the game. That was very, very similar to what you suffered from last season.
I think a lot of that,
very
though,
similar.
A lot of that is what's nuts is the amount of money we spent, and we didn't recognise we needed to sign a clean cut Premier League proven centre forward. Obviously, there wasn't any of those in the market. I mean, the one that could have been on the market, unfortunately, loves Anaka just as much as I do. So, you know, he's not going to be about until January.
Not long to go, to be fair.
No, I think it's either going to be us or Arsenal he goes to. I can't see you guys forking out the 100 million that Brentford are asking for.
What's probably going to happen is Spurs are going to be chasing him all January, saying, we're only going to 60, we're only going to City. Brentford will be like 100. We'll pull out and Arsenal will come in with like a £40 million bid and he'll go there or something. That's probably what's going to happen, judging by the David Raya situation.
Oh, that old Todd Bowley will rock up like, hey guys, here's 100 million straight away. In fact, you want 120? Don't worry about it, man. Here's 120 million.
It's time.
And
it's
we'll
time.
Give you a contract over 25 years.
It's time for FFP to catch up with Chelsea. It's time.
If they don't get Champions League, it will. It will. If they don't get Champions League.
In the quiet words of the Virgin Mary, if that happens, we are fucked, I think is the best way to describe it. But they're talking about how apparently they've considered all that in their thought process, which is slightly worrying, that they actually thought about being banned so they could actually sign players. But, you know, it is what it is. But enough about us, all right? I'm not here to talk about Chelsea because I've already done that today. And I don't know if you've noticed in the background, if you're watching this, by the way, if I just duck down quickly, there's a big logo in the background because I've got a podcast with some friends called the Chelsea Echo, which I bang on about on Twitter. But you have it as a clip now. It's there. So make sure you go check it out, Chelsea Echo, all good audio platforms. But moving swiftly on, let's talk about Spurs. And more importantly, I want to talk about the walking meme in a positive way, which is Big Ange Postecoglou, mate. Talk to me about him. And I want to know
How long you got? How long you got?
I want the timeline. So I want when he was brought in and how you feel now.
Well, I tell you the truth. When we were first starting to be linked with him, I think we were sitting in the studio being like, not sure about this guy. Is it really that impressive to do what he did at Celtic? But then he won the treble, but I think Brendan Rodgers has also won a treble at Celtic. I think Neil Lennon has done it or come very close. So, I mean, managers have done it at Celtic before. It's not exactly like winning a treble in England. It's a different kettle of fish. But then you delve deeper, and we delve deeper into what he's done in the past. And he's taken clubs that have been in big trouble in various different leagues, in the Japanese League, the Australian League, the Australian national team, and Celtic coming off the back of Rangers reclaiming that league off them with Steven Gerrard. And when we delve deep into what he's done and the quotes he comes out with and his philosophies and what he stands by, we're thinking, wow, maybe we've got a proper manager here. And we still didn't realise like how good of a manager he can be until he actually got here and we started seeing him in the press conferences. Every single press conference he does is unbelievable. I can sit there and listen to Ange Postecoglou speak for hours upon hours upon hours. I love hearing him speak. He says the right things every time. He kind of relates back to the players about real life things instead of like just talking about football, like what Conte used to do, like football, bang it in, you must win. No, he's on a different path. He's more like, you need to do things the right way and the wins will come. And that's what we're doing at the moment. Nobody could have expected how good things have gone after the first 10 games of the season. I think there is a blot on his career at Spurs so far, the way we went out the Carabao Cup to Fulham, making 9 changes. So that was definitely a down point in his Spurs career so far. But everything apart from that has been near perfect, to be honest. We've completely changed the way we've played, completely. Harry Kane leaving on the eve of the season. Don't like discount that, like how big of a thing that was for Spurs as well. Everyone said when Harry Kane leaves, oh, Spurs are going to be there with the Crystal Palaces and the Fulhams and stuff like that. And how are we going to ever score goals? We've shored up the defence massively with Mickey van der Ven and Kuti Romero. And look, I think we still need a few tweaks in the attacking areas, but you can't take away anything that Ange is doing at the moment, because I think he's doing a near perfect job right now. Near perfect. And I don't remember anyone coming into a football club and turning it around in such a short space of time that he has. I don't remember anyone.
Yeah, has a new manager bounce ever lasted this long? I can't remember.
He's won the first two manager of the month of the season, and he's about to win the third as well.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it is a new manager bounce at this point. When 10 games in, 8 wins, 2 draws, and it's not just the results; it's the way we've been playing as well. It's just considering how we were playing last season. He's completely flipped the structure and the tactics, and now we're so much more of a possession based team. The football at times, like even when we're not playing well, like for example Friday night we played Crystal Palace, struggling massively in that game, and Palace were very stubborn. Yet that second goal was like just a beautiful team move where it was really hard for Palace to contain, you know, where we were passing, and you know, Madison just at the hub of it, and it just showed even when we're playing badly, we still have these elements in our game where we can turn it on when we need to and have that bit of quality. And he's brought that in so quickly into this team. And the most exciting thing for me is we're still at the start of it. There is so much to improve in this team, and the fact that we're flying at the moment when things are not perfect is so encouraging. Obviously, we have to wait and see what happens when if and when we do have a blip, and you know, we do go through some bad form. How he responds to it, how the squad responds to it, but everyone is so together right now. I've never seen the squad as together as it is right now. Postecoglou has immediately been taken in by the fans and got the fans on side. And I don't know if you've seen, after every home game, they play Angels Over the Tannoy, and like he comes over, and everyone's loving it. Everyone is absolutely loving it because you're a Chelsea fan. No, you know, it's brilliant.
It's Angels. It's like such a weird.
Big Angels. Instead. Come on.
So weird.
It's great. It's a great tune.
The thing is, Louis, the whole club has flipped from top to bottom. Like the mentality of the fans in the stadium, like the atmosphere, every single game, no matter who we're playing, is like better than the atmosphere has been ever for the part since the stadium has opened, pretty much. Since probably the last season at White Hart Lane. I haven't seen atmosphere like this on a consistent basis every single game, no matter what.
So that big South Stand is finally.
Yeah, it's finally. Yeah, it is.
It is. Interesting. And it's really loud. It's great fun. Like, last year was a chore going to Spurs. Mm. Every single week, we're like, oh, we've got to go to Spurs again. Boring football. Probably going to lose. And it was just like a grain on you to go to Spurs. And now, I think he's brought the enjoyment back to the fans. Mm. And everyone is looking forward to every Spurs game now. And I remember at the beginning of the season, after one game finished, people were tweeting, oh, 7 games till Ange Ball, 6 games till Ange Ball, 5 games till Ange Ball. Like, everyone has bought into this, not just the players, the fans as well. The whole club is just all together once again. And it hasn't been like this since Pochettino.
Mm, it's very interesting, because I think that's the thing. I think I was saying to you guys earlier, I do feel that I want to see what he does when the actual blip hits, because that's going to be very interesting. But based on what you're saying, if you take what happened under Poch with you guys and then kind of apply it to this situation, when you had those blips, you were still very much a unit, which is very interesting. Mm. If you're saying that's how it is, it'll be.
Well, we don't know, because we haven't hit that road yet. We haven't hit that road.
So maybe we never will.
Could we? If that happens, it means you actually win something. How amazing would that be?
I don't know
be?
What that means.
Yeah, no, you don't, Tim. That's a very good point. But having said all that, we talk about Ange. We've spoken how he's changed the culture at the club. Let's look at your team. Because like you said, without Harry Kane, everyone's kind of expecting them to fall by the wayside and all of that sort of stuff, which would have been lovely. Unfortunately, it's not the case. What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? And what team should I expect to line up against Chelsea on Monday night?
Well, it looks as though Destiny Adogi might be missing this game, to be fair. Okay. Now.
So does that mean in the combined 11 I get a left back?
No.
Definitely.
So it'll probably be Emerson Royale left back.
Oh, that absolutely would, but okay, carry on.
Pedro Porro right back, Kuti, Mickey, centre back positions, Bissouma, Madison, Saar with Sonny, probably Brennan Johnson on the left, and Kulusevski on the right with Vicario in goal, obviously. And I'm looking at where our strengths are. First of all, the two centre backs. They are unbelievable. Kuti Romero, after getting that leadership responsibility, has come on leaps and bounds this season. He's a completely different player to what he was last season. No more of these kind of rash lunging in, bookings, penalties every game. You're talking about a really mature player, and you can see him growing in maturity. He's maturing every game. That's the one. He's maturing every game. And to have someone like Mickey van de Ven next to him, who just is so quick, mops up everything that comes his way. There was one moment in the Liverpool game where it looked like Cody Gakpo was going one-on-one, and it didn't even look like Mickey van de Ven broke stride, and he just goes and he whips the ball up him.
Yeah, it was interesting, because obviously I was here yesterday when you were recording your Tottenham update, and it was not Garibaldi, because
Gabanini.
Yeah, Garibaldi's got Unified Italy and a biscuit for people in the UK, which is very funny. Goes very Brexit. It's a biscuit, isn't he? No, he's a man. He's historically a man Unified Italy. We're not Chelsea Echo, you like it. We do history, we do politics, as well, films, and barely talk about Chelsea. It's fantastic. But yeah, you were saying about how Mickey van de Ven is very much the sort of player who, I think, was he saying Liverpool looking at him as like the heir to Van Dijk, right? That's sort of talking about.
Well, in that interview, he actually called Van de Ven the Haaland of defenders.
Interesting. Okay.
I would say, in terms of like the strengths of Tottenham, I'd say the spine right now. The spine is like you got Vicario, Van de Ven, Romero, you got in the midfield, Bissouma, Saab, Madison, and Son. That's like the biggest strength. And then out wide, we're having a few issues, I guess, even on the wing. Kulusevski and Richarlison, I would say, probably, or maybe Brennan Johnson's going to start. But Kulusevski's playing well, but maybe not getting the goal contributions we want. We've had a lot of change on the left-hand side. Richarlison's been playing a few times. No one's really convinced massively there. But, you know, everyone's chipping in a bit, but no one's like really nailed down that spot. The fullbacks are doing really well, to be fair. I don't have too many complaints by them, to be honest. They're also doing really well. But I think if I'm looking at the major strengths, we've got a really strong spine. And I think, to be honest, the main first 11 is very strong. Mm. Like, I think it compares with most other teams right now, our first 11, when they're all fit and everyone's on form, and the way they're playing. Obviously, once things go into the squad, to use the squad a bit, people like Davis are coming in, people like Dyer potentially coming in at centre back, you got Emerson's coming in midfield. I mean, Højbjerg is a good player, so I'm not too angry about him, but on the wings, especially up front, Son's doing an amazing job up front, but then we don't really know who's going to be his backup. Richarlison hasn't really done it if he's injured, so I would say our depth is definitely lacking. And if we do, say, pick up an early injury in the game against Chelsea, I don't know who it is, but all of a sudden the team seems to be a lot weaker. But if our first 11 is fit, it does take some stopping right
it's
now.
It's all about the leadership group, right? Because Ange completely came in and ripped that apart. Lloris, Dier, and Harry Kane, right? Harry Kane obviously
and Højbjerg.
And Højbjerg. Yeah. All of them got stripped of the vice captaincy and the captaincy. He's come in, Son captain, Kuti Romero and James Maddison as vice captains. James Maddison was player of the month the first month of the season.
Cracking player.
Heung-min Son was player of the month second month of the season. And Kuti Romero is up for player of the month this month. So you're looking at all these three players and you're saying...
Sorry, that's about Ange Postecoglou.
and they really are doing what they say on the tin, you know, leading by example. They're like, especially his Son, like... I thought he should have been captain before he was given the captaincy, but I could never have imagined him to lead the way he's leading right now. Like, he's doing these small things, like in the North London Derby in the first away game, he got the team to do a huddle right outside the away end. And obviously that makes the crowd go very crazy. And these kind of small things that build that connection with the fan base and the players again. And it's something that we haven't seen in so long. And these leaders are just doing such a sublime job. I just can't sing their praises enough. And they all like kind of growing because of it.
It's really interesting because I don't think we've ever had such a positive conversation in regards to Spurs. There's always been a this, but this, but.
I don't have the but anymore. No, I just don't have it.
You never had it, mate. but, you know, outside of that, you know, I'm just so depressed hearing this. It's like, because obviously Ange Postecoglou was in the running for the Chelsea job as well. But then at the same time, maybe, I don't know, it could have been a Potter situation.
Seeing what you've seen now from Ange and maybe what you've seen with Poch, but you've got previous experience to speak about with Poch as well from what you've seen him doing in the Spurs job, would you go back in time and take Ange over Poch?
No. I think Pochettino's... I'm very much a safety net sort of guy. So I like Poch. I think he's a fantastic coach and I think it will come good. My worry with Ange, again, it goes back to what we were talking about in the other Austin preview when Sim was, you know, just screaming at me and, you know, attacking me and clawing my eyes out. we were talking about how, you know, there's maybe less pressure on Spurs. And I do think if Ange had come to Chelsea, the pressure that Poch is under in terms of the mentality of the club and all that sort of stuff, I worry if he'd have dealt with it because I don't think being so lovely and lovely-dovey would wash as well at Chelsea. But look, we can talk if buts and maybes. This is the situation we're in now.
Well, look, you say that lovey-dovey talk won't watch at Chelsea. Well, have you seen what Pochettino's been saying in the press conference?
Are we doing this again? You mentioned the press for the fifth time in the space of an hour.
It was the greatest press conference I've seen after Ange Postecoglou's this season.
I can't do it. We'll have to see what happens.
I've never been so, like, happy and like loving towards an away manager's press conference, especially Chelsea. It just like it's making my head go a bit crazy.
We asked the question, is he going to celebrate if Chelsea score? Is he going to celebrate if Spurs score?
That's the question. When Spurs win the game, he's going to do a lap of honour on the pitch. Like, yeah, come on, you Spurs.
Jesus.
You win the league, guys. You win it for me.
Yeah, that was interesting to say the least, that comment. But
he'll be like to Ange before the game, like, finish the job that I started, mate.
Ange Postecoglou. Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. But yeah, let's see if you guys hit a hard patch, but, you know, whatever. But I'm just biting my tongue. I'll see what happens. See how the game pans out. See how the rest of the season pans out. Next year pans out. You know, that's all we can do at Chelsea right now. I've just got to grin and bear it. But like I've said that, you've gone through your strengths, gone through your weaknesses. Predicted 11, you've kind of mentioned the strengths. Obviously, Madders, I love Maddison. I wanted him at Chelsea, but, you know, he's 26. So, you know.
Can't happen.
Because he has pubic hair, it was too much. So, couldn't actually get him in. But, you know, with all of that, let's get a score prediction. Come on, give it to me. Just lay it on me.
I'm going 2-0 Spurs. 2-0 Spurs. I think keep you quiet in the first half. And hopefully, I think we get two late goals, maybe from 60 minutes onwards. I don't know what it is about Chelsea, but you just can't seem to play in second halves of football. So I think if we do keep you quiet in the first half, then I do think we go and win this game.
I only am 1-0. I think it's going to be a tight game. I can see Chelsea actually causing us a bit of trouble, especially in the early doors, because I think we've actually struggled with pressure early on. I saw against United at home and Arsenal away. Sometimes when we get pressed really hard early, it can be very difficult for us.
Conor Gallagher, the Energizer Bunny, will be doing
I think our defence is strong enough to either keep you out or your attack is poor enough to not take advantage of it right now. There's players. You've got good players. You've got good players, but I'm back. sacking our defence, of how good our defence has been, to just keep it, under wraps. Make sure you're not getting too many real clear-cut chances. And then if we can ride that bit of wave early on, I think we've got enough quality to put a few moves together to cause you more than enough trouble. So I've only gone for 1-0. I do see it being a tight game, and I think Poch is going to be super motivated, even though, you know, we've been joking about it. But I really think he's going to want to try and, you know, so hard to get, because he knows what result would mean in this game. But I just feel like we're going to have a bit too much. So I've only gone for 1-0, but I see it being a tight. I wouldn't be surprised for the draw, to be honest.
Well, we'll have to see. I'm relying
on... No Mudrick crosses are going to go over the head of Vicario. I'll
no
tell
chance.
You that for free.
Is Vicario a little bit of a... Is he like being on...
Vicario has been brilliant.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What a keeper he's
oh, he's,
been.
He, I did, see, I,
some of the saves he's making. I think he's been up for save of the month every single month so far this season.
Yeah, he hasn't won it though, has he? Robert Sanchez. Come on. But is he...
Vicario hasn't given away any goals, just passing out of the back.
You're talking about how Mudrick's crossing are going. I was going to wrap up, but I want to touch on that quickly. Is that something which is another weak point? Do you think Mudrick putting those balls over might cause some issues if he's playing?
No, but I was just more like talking about him putting the crosses in that will just loop over the keeper's head like it did at Arsenal, that really fluky goal.
Wasn't a flip, mate. No, exactly. But yeah, but anyway, thank you very much, boys, for coming on. Guys, if you are watching this, obviously, on YouTube, you can head across to watch the option preview on We Are Tottenham TV. Chances are, though, most of you have come from there. So if you have, please drop a sub because, yeah, it's a lot of fun over here. Got more content coming your way very, very soon. If you're listening to this as well, obviously, on the Chelsea Echo, please do make sure that you give us a follow on there. And if you, again, if you're watching it, follow the Chelsea Echo. There is going to be a giveaway coming very soon on the Chelsea Echo with some new clips and some access that we have as well. And obviously, you'll see it here as well. But guys, hit the sub button, hit the follow, drop a like, all that good stuff down below. Content will be coming back. And I know people are rolling their eyes at that. But, you know, I have had a life, which means I haven't been able to do it. But now that life is no longer in the way. So, guys, thank you very much for watching. Head across to We Are Tottenham TV. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming on.
Cheers, mate.
We won't say good luck at the weekend.
Salut.
Take care. And guys, we'll see you soon. Ta-da.